All right, folks, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6, the book of Romans. We're going to continue on in our study of the gospel, the book of Romans. I keep wanting to call it the gospel. There's something wrong with my thinking. It is good news, and what we're talking about today is even better news as we talk about the reality of the freedom that we have from the power of sin. So let me kind of remind you of where we're at. If you remember, we're going through the book of Romans to understand our faith, to understand what it is that we believe. And we've seen from the beginning that he makes a very clear case in the first part, the first three chapters, that all of humanity is condemned. All of humanity is going to hell. That means everybody from the Gentile who is just rejecting the reality of the existence of God and doing his own thing, to the guy who's moral, who would judge other people and think that because he's, quote, living, quote, a moral lifestyle, which, by the way, Paul points out, he doesn't live up to himself, he's condemned. The Jew is condemned because they have the word of God, they're supposed to be teachers, but they don't even follow it themselves. And just to make sure that everybody is understanding what's going on, he says everyone is condemned because no one really seeks after God. And with that, he tells us that the reality is Jesus. And when you understand the reality of Jesus and what he's done for you, you realize that he has justified you by what? By your faith in him. And with that, you are accepted, not because of you. You realize it is not about you. We've said that. This isn't about you, it's about him. It's about what Jesus did for you. And with that, he has reconciled you. You now have a relationship with him. And where grace, where sin is, because we are sinners, grace abounds much more. So then we get into chapter 6. And he's trying to get you to understand that here's where we were. We've been over this the last few weeks, that when you came to Jesus, you were immediately changed, and the old person, the old you, died. And when the old you died, the power of sin was broken in your life. Now, with that comes confusion. With that comes the reality that people think, okay, well, you know what? It's all about the reality that I'm freed from sin and it's grace, and grace abounds so much more. In fact, the very last thing he said in verse 14, if you look at your Bibles there real quickly in verse 14, he says, for sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under the law but under grace. You start hearing those things, you begin to think that you can just do whatever you want. And so it causes confusion. So that's why he gets into verse 16. Well, let's read the whole passage, and then I'll tell you about verse 16, okay? Look with me at verse 15 through the end of the chapter. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and have been set free from sin, have become slaves, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So what's he do? He starts out here because he wants to make sure that everybody understands. He also is recognizing that there's this confusion. So he starts out, very first part here, verse 15, and he says this: what then, are we to sin because we're no longer under the law, but under grace? Now here's the confusion. Some are convinced that they can sin since they are not bound by the law. It's a natural outcome. If you were told that you are forgiven, that all of your sins are forgiven, you have an eternal home with Jesus, you are now freed from sin, grace abounds much more than sin, it's only natural now that you could come to the place of thinking, well, then that means I can just go do whatever I want to do. And we know people like that. You've met people like that. And it comes in subtle forms. What do you mean subtle forms? Because we can do the same thing. Sometimes we'll do things and we know we shouldn't do something, but we'll tell ourselves, well, I'll ask for forgiveness later. Knowing that you shouldn't do something. And there's a presumption there that if I ask for forgiveness, he'll what? Forgive me, even though I know that I shouldn't do it. So there's this confusing thought that's out there among people. Now, the problem is, here's what Paul is saying. He says it with one word in its original language, but here we see it in three little words: by no means, exclamation point. No way, impossible. You can't think that way. So here's the point I want you to see. That thought is a total misunderstanding of truth and must be rejected. If you're thinking that now because you're a believer, and that you've been saved, that now you can just go do whatever you want to do because you know you're not worried about hell, you know that there is forgiveness, you can just go do whatever you want to do. He's saying to you, that's wrong. Don't think that way. You need to reject that because you're missing the bigger picture. And that's what he's going to present us with now, is that there is a bigger picture. So let's reiterate some things for ourselves. Okay, so when you came to Christ, all right? When you came to Christ, when you and I came to Christ, for me it was April of 1985 in Columbia, South Carolina. When I came to Christ, at that moment, Christ, the Holy Spirit, entered into my life. He entered into your life whenever that moment was. Sealed you for the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 1. He's your guarantee. So there we see the whole aspect of eternal security. He forgave me of my sin. He broke, according to Paul, what we've already looked at in the beginning part of this chapter, chapter 6. He broke the power of sin in your life. The power of sin is no longer dominant in life. The old me died. The old you, when you came to Christ, died. That sin nature was destroyed. But the problem is we live in a body that has been what? Trained in sin, which still craves sin. But the problem is that sometimes we think now, okay, well then I can just go do whatever I want. No. He's trying to tell you that's not an option that you can just go do whatever you want. You now belong to who? Who do you belong to? Jesus. And with that, you've got a choice to make. You've got to decide how you're going to live your life, because the reality is there's a principle here that you need to understand. There is a reality that you need to grasp. And we see that now in verse 16. Look at what he says here. It's very plain. Here's what he says, verse 16. Do you not know? All right, so he's asking you a question. Don't you know this? Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? So whoever you're presenting yourself to, you become a slave to that person. Don't you know that? That's reality. Remember, Jesus would say to us in the Gospels, you can't serve two masters. Problem is, for all of us, we want to have middle ground. We want to do both. But Paul is reiterating again, you can't. You've got to serve one or the other. Now, who are they? Well, look with me again, verse 16. You are slaves of one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So here's what I want you to see. Two things I want you to see about this reality. Instead of just thinking you can go do whatever you want, you need to realize, first of all, here it is, you become a slave to either sin or obedience to God. You become a slave to